welcome to episode 339 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Sandy, Laura, and Donna. This past year may have not been the adventure we had hoped for, but it most definitely was a wild ride. Frustrated with being at home with a pent-up desire to move, over 1 million people purchased the very popular bike that goes nowhere. Now that the world has started opening up again, we wanted to talk with you about a very different kind of cycling experience, one that can take you almost anywhere. Amber Hobson has graciously agreed to join us today and tell us all about it. Amber is a trip consultant at Trek Travel, a Madison, Wisconsin-based company that provides bike tours and cycling vacations around the globe. Amber loves working with a team of world travelers dedicated to showing guests the world by bike. On a Trek Travel trip, you can expect to experience the best routes, hotels, towns, and food to immerse yourself in a region, all on bikes that you're guaranteed to love. So let's get started. So as you can tell from my stunning physique, I bike quite a bit. So
Every day.
So I am familiar with Trek bikes. I assume that's related to Trek Travel.
You are correct, George. So Trek Travel and Trek bikes are closely related. And as you can imagine, as we take guests all across the world on amazing cycling vacations, you ride a Trek bike. So an industry's top bike, because you know, part of what makes a cycling vacation great is the piece of equipment that you're, you know, seeing the world from. So folks can, you know, ride further, longer, see more, experience more because they're on such a great bike. And we have electric assist bikes. So folks who are not avid cyclists or maybe very rarely cycle can also have an opportunity to keep up with you know, other folks who, you know, maybe do cycle more or, you know, see things from the perspective of an electric assist bike too.
Nice. I'd be going head to head with Lance. I could deal with
that. That would be the turbo speed then.
Yeah.
What makes the Trek bikes unique?
Yeah. So, you know, so thinking through the different types of bikes that we offer. So one of our more avid bikes is our road bike, our Trek Damani Plus. It's incredibly light. Its frame is made to absorb shock. We also have the electric assist Trek Damani, the Trek Damani Plus, which is an electric assist road bike. You know, so the electric assist, you know, sorry, I messed like all that up. Can I go back to that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, cool. So you asked what makes Trek bikes awesome? So the things that make Trek bikes awesome is the fact that they have a build for everybody. So they have, you know, a bike that is light and fast for folks who really want to cycle fast and far. They have the bike that is an electric assist road bike, so folks who want to cycle far and fast, plus have a little bit of a boost. And they also have things like our Trek Verve, which is it's a hybrid bike, so you're a little bit more upright, which some folks prefer to be more, you know, sort of upright as they're riding the bike, the flat handlebars and then a low step through. So you don't have to swing your leg all the way up and over your bike to get on and off. So they've got something for everybody. And on our trips, we try to showcase that, you know, wide variety of types of bikes that they offer.
Do you find that the people who travel with you already are Trek riders, or are they trying you out? Is it kind of like renting the Mustang when you're on vacation in Hawaii to see if you like the way it drives?
Yeah, great question. A little bit of both. I think that we get folks who are Trek loyalists and they say, we can't go anywhere else because we can't be riding a different kind of bike. And then we also get folks who come to us because of, you know, the types of vacations and experiences that we offer. And then when they hop on a Trek bike, they don't want to try anything else, which is a great partnership between us and bike shops then. Because once you go electronic shifting, you can't go back, which is a really easy way of shifting your bike. Super comfortable.
So Amber, if you're in the middle of a trip and you start out on one bike and then you realize that, you know what, I can't quite handle this. I really need that extra assist because, you know what, I'm really out of shape. Can you switch in the middle of the trip?
You can, depending on our inventory. And what we try to do ahead of time is really talk to you and get to know you as we're booking you. so we can get a feel for, you know, so how many miles a day do you ride? You know, and have you noticed that there's hills in Vermont, for example? I'm trying to talk through and get a feel for, you know, each person's rider level. We characterize, by the way, all of our trips based on rider levels, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And so hopefully ahead of time, we can anticipate that they might enjoy an electric assist bike, but depending on inventory, we can always look at, you know, making a mid-trip swap. And we also do have options for non-riders. So we want to make sure that we're offering great, you know, so travel partners, you go on a trip and one person is a cyclist and one person, you know, wants to cycle maybe one day or maybe not at all. They can join in like the whitewater rafting or the wine tasting or the cooking class with the rest of the group off the bike. But then when the group is on the bike, they can, you know, explore the region on their own, however they want.
One of the things my clients like, and they're, you know, they'll go off for a 30 or 40 mile ride on their own at home. So they do a lot of, you know, they live in North Carolina, they lived in North Carolina. So they do a lot of they'll just cycle up in Boone and it's nothing for them, but they love, the husband loves the carbon wheels and the wife doesn't want the carbon wheels and there's different kind of pedals and, you know, they're definitely Trek enthusiasts, but they've tried a couple of other bike vacation company, you know, cycling vacations. And they said, there's nothing like the quality of the bikes, how intentional you guys are about the fit of the bike. You really, really work hard to have it fit your rider, you know. They've come back again and again and again to Trek. So.
I love that you don't have to bring your own bike. Yeah, that's like news to me.
Yeah.
It's really good. Yeah.
Because I think that's the first thing people ask when it's like, oh, you can bike anywhere.
Yes. So not having to bring your bike, and you can if you want, by the way. Some people are, you say that got to have my ride and my ride only, but especially for a lot of our European or other international trips, you know, the idea of packing up, you know, disassemble, ship it, find a bike shop there to reassemble and then get it to the, you know, start of your trip is a huge pain. And again, you know, we have the industry's best bikes, so just ride ours.
Can you actually request, like, if you have a bike at home that you ride, can you say, this is what I ride at home, and pretty much get that same bike?
Yes, if it's one of the bikes that we offer on the trip. And okay. There's, you know, 3 or 4 main types. And so if you have that bike at home, that's awesome. You know, take your measurements, send us what frame size you have, and we'll get your, you know, our trip bike set up perfectly for you.
So you guys said you have like the assist bikes for people who aren't avid riders. But do you have bikes that would fit like plus size folks?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, actually bike frames don't, so they're based on height, because what really matters is, you know, the length of your limbs and your reach. But for a plus size rider, you know, a Trek Verve or something that's more upright would be a great fit for you. You know, it takes some of the weight out of your arms for a more like a flat ride, you know, a road bike where you're a little bit more forward leaning, that can be a lot of additional pressure in your arms. And so an upright fit is a great option for those sorts of folks.
And do they have like the motorized ones for those too?
Yeah. Yep. The Trek Verve is a hybrid. So an upright and it's an electric assist. That's a great question.
Oh, nice.
Okay. I'll do it.
I guess Sandy's going like
she's old.
So with that, how are you handling COVID precautions? Obviously that's the word of the day. So we can't escape this evening without talking about it.
Of course. No. Yeah. So back in 2020, which was a doozy and, you know, undeniably, we, like a lot of companies, basically took a hard look at every single step, every single component of our hospitality. So that starts with booking, you know, offering a really flexible cancellation policy and trip switch policy, and then moving through onto our actual running of trips. You know, so when you first arrive at your trip, we have all of the bikes staged. So you can walk up to them and, you know, try them out and make sure the fit's right. And they're socially distanced. All the bikes are staged really far apart. When you check into your hotel, your luggage is just in your room. The guide goes in and gets the room keys, hands it to you. You just walk straight through to your room. Our meals are socially distanced. We have lower capacity in our transportation vehicles. We have testing kits just in case there's no regional local testing available. We really looked at every single component of our trips through the lens of how do we make this safe for our guests and our guides while still maintaining the experience?
I think just part, I mean, the fact that you're outside so much is a big deal too, you know, I think that's conducive to safety too.
I mean, what a great way to, you know, see the world right now than out in the air on, you know, two wheels, fresh air on two wheels.
Yeah.
It's a perfect way to get out and see stuff in a safe way.
Amber, can you talk some about the, one of the things that my client talked about that he says is a highlight both domestically and out and about is your intentional inclusion of cultural experiences.
Yeah. So
trip. And I don't think people necessarily think about that with bike trip, with cycling trips.
Yeah. So you go to a new place and, you know, you plan the vacation by yourself and you looked at reviews online and you consulted Google probably several times. That's great. But, you know, what if there were a trip that's thoughtfully designed by locals for locals and then extended out to you? And so that's the way that we curate our trips is from the viewpoint of a local and always with the goal of helping our guests see the absolute best that there is in a region. So sometimes that could mean a cooking class and a wine tasting in Tuscany, or it could mean a stop at Ben and Jerry's, you know, and then stand-up paddleboarding on Lake Champlain in Vermont. But we always want to showcase the absolute best of a region from the perspective of a local. So you really get a feel for a place, you know, from that perspective.
Are those experiences included in the tours?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. So there are cultural activities, cultural experiences included on most of our trips, and our guides can always suggest additional, you know, folks are looking for, well, that wine tasting was great, but I would like to do three more. You know, so our guides can always suggest additional experiences, but there are quite a few cultural encounters are included in the trip price.
Can you talk a little bit about the accommodations that you offer? Because I'm thinking a soft landing is kind of important after a big day of riding.
Yeah, you're correct on that. So we always offer great, great accommodations, and you knew I'd say that, but, you know, and
it's like they pay you to say that, no, <right?
laughs> but we have all these, you know, different types of trips because different levels of accommodation, require different levels of money, you know, and, certain types of guests are looking for different things. And so you might have an avid cyclist who is traveling across the country. We have a trip, by the way, that goes across the country, 46 days. Can you imagine? Wow. Yeah. So in the middle of, you know, Montana or, you know, wherever we happen to be, accommodations might be a little bit tough to find, you know, 5-star, but, it sort of depends on the trip. You know, we have some trips that are more explorer level accommodations. So a bit more basic, maybe not with a spa, you know, on site, all the way up to your, you know, super, super, you know, fancy luxury. Yep. 5-star accommodations. So it's a huge range.
So any tent camping or anything like that, or is it pretty much at least 3-star and up?
We do have 2 under canvas glamping. Picture that, glam camping, right? Yep. Glamping. And so it's a tent, you know, you're like you're in canvas and you stoke your wood stove in the middle of the night if you need. But there is still running water inside. And so we have one of those trips in Glacier National Park and then another one out in South Dakota near Mount Rushmore.
Nice.
Mm. Under canvas, though, is some of the best of the best.
So it is actually under canvas that you partner with?
Yeah. Nice. Yep.
And their Glacier National Park is one of their newer ones.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it? Yep. South Dakota, I think, was their original site.
Yeah.
Somebody doing under canvas at the Grand Canyon this year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think that one's pretty new as well. So with all these different kinds of bikes, I'm starting to wonder, is this something that you get multi-generational? Do you get, you know, do you get young kids and grandparents doing this together? Or is it generally a particular age range that you're looking at?
That's a huge age range, actually. About 30% of our travelers are solo travelers. And then, you know, the other 70% are couples or their kids with parents, friend groups, relatives, sort of a whole gamut, really.
You have a minimum age?
Minimum age is 18.
Okay.
Unless they're doing like a custom or a private trip, you know, where it's closed off to, you know, the public, then it's, you know, sort of more flexible.
So for our listeners who have been using their bike that goes nowhere for a year now during COVID, are they ready to hit the road? What do you need to do to prepare for a trip like this?
That's a great question. Depends on the trip that you choose. We have great suggested training plans on our website, but it really depends on how many miles, what sort of feet of climbing, what sort of elevation you're climbing right now versus what you're looking to do. One of the best parts about a cycling vacation, is the experience, of course, but then is also the anticipation, as with all travel. And so a lot of folks, who are coming on a cycling vacation also get a lot of enjoyment out of the training, getting in miles leading up to it. Laura's nodding her head. I bet her clients feel the same. So just kind of depends on what sort of trip you're looking at, and that's going to dictate what sort of preparation you want to do. And you also got to think about, okay, where do I live right now? Is it flat as a pancake? Where do I want to go? Vermont, again, hills, or North Carolina hills, Blue Ridge Mountains. I want to think about, trying to find a way to simulate some of those hills so that when I get there, I can make sure and see lots of sights, unless I have an electric assist bike, because that's going to help me a lot too.
Well, talk about your riding camps.
Yeah.
Because that's where people to get ready. Mm-hmm.
So real quick, I mentioned, that we have these four different official rider levels, starting out level one is more of our leisurely riders. Level four is our avid riders, want to squeeze in lots of miles. And then we have our non-rider activities too. And so all of our trips are categorized based on how many miles, how many feet of climbing you're going to do. And for our level four avid folks, we have lots of different options again, but one of our great options is called Ride Camp. And so we'll take you to a world-class destination. In this case, we've got three in the US and two in Europe. And you ride, eat, sleep, repeat is our mantra. Ride, eat, sleep, repeat. So sort of just rinse and go again. There's no cultural encounters included in those trips. It's sort of just squeeze in as many miles as you can. And so a lot of folks are going to use it to build up miles right before, the summer season starts. It's been a long winter. Maybe they've got a race coming up. Maybe they're training for maybe a longer trek travel trip. So, and it's a lower price point trip as well, because it doesn't have all those cultural inclusions.
Yeah. My folks were signed up to do the Greenville, South Carolina.
That's one. Awesome. It's going to be, spring, right, yeah. Laura?
Yeah. They were actually going to be doing it in 2 weeks, but the wife had a bike accident. Oh, no. in Florida, and she hurt her femur. Oh. So they're saving up for it. They were going to do that. And then they were going to do Kentucky Bourbon Trail. And then they were going to, in August, they were going to do Ireland. So they're just going to save up for Kentucky Bourbon Trail and hope she's better by
then.
There
we go. That's a good plan.
Yes. the Bourbon Trail versus Greenville, South Carolina. Let me think about that.
Yeah, I asked Paul what his favorite trip was, and he said he loves Costa Brava. They'd go back again. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what's your most memorable experience? And he said, when they went on the Alaska trip, I think it was a new trip for you guys at that time. And they were the only two on the trail.
Wow.
It was two guides and them, but he said that wasn't as much a memorable point as that when they gave me my bike, I said, what's this? And the guy said, that's your bear bell.
I mean, if you need something to motivate you to, ride faster.
Yeah, get faster.
that's about the only way I would bike. It's the same as with running, put a bear after me.
Yeah, but he said one of the cultural emergent thing there is he got to go kayaking in Alaska. And then I think it was a little bit extra, but he went salmon fishing too, which he said he'll never forget.
Wow.
Salmon fishing.
We're talking about destinations. Can you highlight some of the...
I have a destination question.
Okay.
What's your flattest one?
That's a good one.
That's a good question. Alaska doesn't have a whole lot of feet of climbing, and it's a level one trip, so it is the least amount of mileage, least amount of climbing, and it's multi-sport. And so you get to go kayaking. There's a sunset cruise, there's hiking. So probably Alaska, and a lot of those miles too are on bike paths. And usually if folks are looking for low mileage, they're also looking for as many routes as possible, not next to traffic. So probably Alaska, actually. So thanks for that tee up, Laura. That was perfect.
So do you guys, I guess I didn't think about this, but you guys are on the road when you're doing a lot of this, right? It's like highway travel, or can you talk about the safety kind of aspect of that?
Yeah. Depends on the actual trip. So for example, Alaska, we spend a lot of time on bike paths. A lot of our national park trips, we spend time on either bike paths or, roads with large shoulders, or the traffic is very slow moving. We take into account road quality, traffic that you're riding next to when we characterize our trip in terms of rider level. And so there could be more, our ride camps, you're going to be on roads, again, not busy ones, because nobody, regardless of your rider level, wants to be, on a highway necessarily. But we do our best to keep folks off of busy roads as much as possible, but our avid trips might have some riding, that are next to roads and whatnot.
So then is it safe to say you're not biking through Paris or Rome? You tend to stick to the countrysides, or do you actually go into cities?
For the most part, we are not in large scale metropolitan areas. For Glacier, we might ride into, Whitefish through, but that's like a smaller town. The traffic is not moving at a fast clip, but, we don't have any trips in Paris and Rome and Chicago and, Miami for that reason, because we want to make sure and keep our cyclists. It's not fun. It's not fun to be stressed out riding next to a lot of traffic. So we really take into account.
There was a great trip in Provence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's sort of what I was thinking of with, that's why I was asking about Paris. It's like, do the trips maybe start and end in some of these cities, or do they, so that Provence trip, where do you really start that trip?
I'm going to completely blank on exactly where.
Oh, that's okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Cut that part out. But so a lot of our, as you might imagine, it's easiest to fly in and out of those larger airports. And so a lot of them do, again, because we want to make sure that the transportation, because we don't include the transportation cost, the flight and the traveling to and from the trip start and end. So we want to make that as easy and cost effective as possible for our guests. And so a lot of them do come in and out of larger scale, airports and cities, which are great opportunities to put a couple of days on the front or the back end and do some additional exploring for sure.
So I'm going to assume you're not on all seven continents, because I don't see you cycling past penguins. Although if you do, let me know. That's another way I could get motivated. But are you on the other six, or?
We are currently, so we've got Japan. We've got a bunch in Europe for sure. Obviously in North America, although we're not in Canada yet. We've got a Chile. We used to have a Costa Rica, Japan. So not all of the six others.
So no Australia or New Zealand?
Nope, nothing there yet either. Hopefully soon.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So on the rides that may be out in the country and a little bit longer, do you have the typical van that follows the group along to make sure, either for medical issues or in the case of flat tires or mechanical breakdowns or that kind of thing?
Yeah, or just hungry, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the majority, most of our trips, really with the exception of ride camp, it's built for more independent cyclists. But for the majority of our other trips, you'll have probably two guides, and one of them will probably be supporting the group from a bike. And so they'll kind of zip up next to you. How you doing? You need anything? And then there's also going to be a van sort of leapfrogging you, as you go. And again, the group, one of the questions I get often is, okay, so on a cycling vacation, do I have to ride with the rest of the group? And the answer is no. So folks can jet out in front after the morning's route talk, they can hang back and take an extra photo op of the glacier or whatever. But the guides are always there supporting the whole group. And so they're leapfrogging on the bike, in the van. In the van, you can shed a layer, toss it in, you can grab some more water, you can, grab some snacks, fix a flat for sure. All of the guests have the guides' cell phone numbers. And so if you catch a flat and you don't see either of the guides in sight, you can always give them a call and they'll pop over and help you with that.
Tell us about these guides, because that's quite a job to be able to handle sort of all the emergency roadside assistance and the guiding and all the knowledge of the destination. Who are these people? Where do you find them?
Well, the term rock star comes to mind,
yes,
first off.
Indeed.
Yeah. So they come from a huge range of backgrounds and experiences. They come from all over the world, and they all go through an extremely rigorous selection process. We're going through one right now. But you can think of them as, so they're certified bike mechanics, by the way, because top of the line bikes need top of the line mechanics who know how to keep them in tip top shape. So the certified bike mechanics, they're hospitality providers, you know, on the fly, and they're fun and they're flexible, but really we refer to them as our magic makers. So they will eavesdrop. They will go out of their way to try to find out your favorite food, your favorite snack, when your, you know, when your anniversary is, and really work hard to put together a wow moment for you, because we really, you know, just like Laura had mentioned with the salmon fishing in Alaska, we want you to remember, you know, these trips and these experiences, and we want them to be memories, you know, forever for you. So our guides are trained to sniff out and then create those wow moments for our guests.
I can't even believe you have two people like this. Nonetheless, the whole fleet of them. That's amazing. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite trip or a bucket list trip?
My favorite trip is California wine country. For obvious reasons. I know we keep talking about wine. It keeps coming up.
That's what we do. It's good. You fit right in.
Yeah. So California wine country is my favorite trip. So the redwood trees, the coast, the vineyards, you just wouldn't believe how many, you know, sort of vineyards and valleys of grapes there are, you know, just piled one on top of another. It's amazing. All these different places you can stop and taste. So that is my favorite trip. My bucket list trip has got to be Norway. I think that just looks to spend time next to fjords. It just looks, and you know, by the glaciers before they're all gone, I would love to go to Norway.
That's a hilly one.
It is. It's a level 2, I think. And so, oh, really? So there are hills.
I mean, fjords, you know?
No.
I would absolutely opt for that electric assist bike. No shame at all. I want to see as much as possible of that region. Yeah. So yes, there are hills, but it's totally doable.
Amber, what's your average trip size?
Average trip size at this point is 10 guests, but the majority of our trips cap out at 20.
Okay.
Wow.
So if you wanted to do a private, you'd have to have at least 10 or?
Yes.
That's not us, by the way.
Sorry, we need to take that out. Dog has just decided to snarl. I'm so sorry. Josie, are you good?
She's wiggling. I'll ask that again.
Was there a puppy in there?
Yeah.
She's behind.
I didn't know. I can't see her.
She's way off camera.
Yeah.
Actually, there. There's her head.
Oh, I see her little head.
Yeah, she was snarfling. Sorry about that.
So if you wanted to do a private trip, what's the minimum size you need?
So to do a private trip, the minimum size is 1, really. But if you only had one person on a private trip, your cost would be, you know, higher than what is listed. So if you got 10 guests on a private trip, then the cost of each of their trips would not change from what's listed. But if you had less than 10, then each person's trip would be a little more expensive. And private trips, by the way, mean that you take a look at our website, you find a trip, a destination and a date that you and your group want to do, and then you close it down to the public and you make it just for your group. And that's different from custom. So if you want to change anything about the trip, make it longer, shorter, change a hotel, then we would go into the realm of custom.
Cool. Excellent. And are you running tours now? I mean, we're recording this in April of 2021. Are you operating now?
Yeah. Our first official trip in 2021 started on March 22nd, and it was a Greenville ride camp. And it's worth mentioning too, that we ran 130 trips in 2020.
Wow.
Yeah. So the majority of them ran from June through December. You know, as you can imagine, March hit and a lot of things had to be changed and shifted and whatnot, but we did run more than 100 trips in 2020. So and successfully, you know, we surveyed our folks and said, on a scale of 1 to 5, how confident did you feel traveling with us during the pandemic? And they told us a 4.8. So, super proud of that score, and you know, goes to show that we've truly asked and learned how to host people on vacations right now.
Do you have stuff in Europe right now? Because, or is it just domestic?
Just domestic. Okay. The only place in Europe, the only country in Europe that is open to U.S. travelers is Croatia. And so we will be tentatively and very excitedly hosting folks there starting in June.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm ready to go. Well, you mentioned the training thing and the fun you have training. I've done marathons before, and that to me is part of the fun, is the, you know, getting your group of people and training. A lot of the times I've done Disney a bunch of times, and it's always in January. And so that, like, December, Christmas, running on this one trail here is one of the coolest things to me. And I loved it. And I kept wanting to do that year after year. There's like this pine tree on the trail, and people would bring ornaments and hang them. And, you know, it is like getting there is half the fun. I totally get that.
I don't get that.
Well, another nice thing that they do is that they, like for my folks who are going on a Kentucky Bourbon Trail, is that I was able to get the number of your contact at the hotel, and they're going a couple days early. So they set it up with a hotel that you can, you know, your travel agent can help you get there a couple days early. You can be in the same room category. It can be seamless across the, and I've done that for them several times. And, you know, the places that you, the lodging that you pick, the people are always, you know, just as nice as they can be, really, you know, have a great relationship, want to go overboard to make people who are coming early, you know, feel welcome and celebrated and all that kind of stuff. So
that's great. They're going to have so much fun. Lexington, right? 21C Hotel.
Yeah. Yes.
They're going to have a blast.
And we've talked a lot on the podcast this year about domestic travel, because, you know, obviously it's the only travel we can do right now. And this is such a great idea, you know, especially if you've been cooped up and if you are of an athletic nature, to, you know, how do you see the United States? Well, why not bike it? You know, it's great.
And I love that there's the assist for people who, I mean, I think you would still obviously need to do some training, put some time in, but maybe if you can't as much as your really gung-ho friend, you know, you can still go too. I love that. I didn't realize that was an option. So that's really cool.
Yeah. I have a friend who's done a Trek travel trip, and her husband at the time was the cyclist, and she likes cycling, but, you know, what she would basically say is, I like it, but I don't want to do it the whole time. So basically exactly what you were saying at the beginning of our podcast. So it was nice for her to be able to, you know, sometimes ride in the van and, or, you know, or stay back and do something
else. Go shopping.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, so just speaking about cycling vacations in general, bikes can just get you into different places than cars and tour buses can. You know, you can see more, you can be more independent than having to be, you know, tied to a tour bus or a rental car. You got to drive on the wrong side of the road or something, you know, especially over in Europe where the roads and the different sites and things are not as accessible. You know, traveling by bike and seeing it out in fresh air as opposed to behind glass, there's just something more special about it, more personal.
I love that.
You guarantee no rain, right?
That's going to cost extra. We will do our best. We will do our best, and we'll have rain jackets when we fail at that.
No, but they do, it's not no rain, but they make every effort in ways that may not be obvious to everyone to be very green.
Yeah.
And to really kind of honor the earth that they're riding on and experiencing. And so I love that about it too.
All right, Amber, before we wrap it up, is there any last thing you'd like to tell our listeners about Trek travel?
You know, we pretty much covered it all, but we pride ourselves on offering an experience that is unlike any other, because you get to experience a place, you know, up close and personal. You get to see more in a different way, a more personalized way than other types of travel. So we truly believe the world is best seen from the seat of a bicycle, and we love having the opportunity to tell other people about it, and even more so being able to show them. So, yeah. And so for any folks who are listening to this podcast, we'd love to extend a coupon for up to $200 off their next Trek travel cycling vacation of a lifetime. And the code is 21TTFLY. So 21 Trek travel fly, TTFLY. And so that is good until May 21st. And to book that, you would just get connected with your Outlander travel advisor.
Yay.
Yay. Thank you. That's awesome.
Great. All right. Well, with that, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. A really big thank you to our guest, Amber Hobson, for joining us.
Thank you.
And on behalf of Donna, Sandy, Elizabeth, Laura, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.